beginning, So up until now, at least by this point, we've asked your attention. There are three methods of Kiddushin. It's Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, as recorded in the Mishnah. And the Gemara spent the last four blocks trying to figure out what the sources in the Toshav Chsav for these halachas are. So now comes the Gemara with a fourth possibility. Maybe there's another method of getting married that doesn't appear in the Mishnah. That's in the first of the Ramah Kamos, the Kiddushin of Hamid Aleph. Amar Avuna, Chupa Koine Mikal Vachoyme. So Rav Huna tells us that maybe there's a fourth source, and the fourth way to affect Kiddushin is by doing the mechanism called chuppah. Now, the truth is, chuppah is something that does exist in halacha, according to everybody, but usually we associate chuppah with the second stage of marriage called nisuin. You know, the Torah tells us that there are two distinct stages of marriage. There's Kiddushin, and then there is nisuin. So, isha nikneis b'kesef shtar ube bia, that creates the status of Kiddushin, but the woman is not yet a nesua, ma'inaf kamina, if it's Kiddushin, it's Kiddushin. And the answer is that vis-a-vis the isra v'eshazish, there's really no difference. She requires a get min haTorah once she has Kiddushin. But concerning some technical halachas, let's say, for example, if the woman would die at that point, at the point of after Kiddushin, before chuppah, would the husband, if he's a Kohen, be permitted to be metame for her? Would the husband be Yoresha? Would he inherit her property? There are enough communities in terms of hafaras nedar. There are a lot of differences in the Torah between the stage of post-Kiddushin versus the stage of post-Chuppah, what we call, of course, Nisuin. But here, we're trying to take that mechanism called Chuppah, which just off the record, we're not even sure what Chuppah is. We don't know what the chuppah means, what we call colloquially a chuppah, whether the chuppah means a yichud room, whether the chuppah means something else. Hopefully as the sugya develops, we'll try to define it a little bit better. But this concept called chuppah, which we know exists in the Torah, vis-a-vis creating the state of nisuin, can this itself become the kedushin? So a person is going to stand under the chuppah, or he's going to go into the yichud room, whatever the case may be, and he's going to say to her, Harem kedesh es b'chuppah zo. That's it. No kesef, no shtar, no bia. Does that make any sense in halacha? So Rav Huna had a tremendous chiddush. Rav Huna says, yeah, it works. It works in haTorah. There's no pasuk. Doesn't matter, says Rav Huna. It's based on a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma kesef she'eno macha b'truma kone. If a kohen simply does kiddushin, gives a ring to a woman, so she's mekudeshes to him, but kesef does not have the ability to enable her to eat in truma. An eishes kohen is permitted to eat truma, but only after nisuin, not before nisuin. So Rav Huna is setting up on a pedestal, setting up the hierarchy of kinyanim in halacha. So kesef, which is not so ayayay, is not such a gevaldik, is not such a profound kinyan. Haraya, it doesn't have the ability to let her eat truma, yet it creates the status of kinyan of kedushin of eishes ish to require a get. So chuppah shemacheles b'truma. Chuppah, which has the ability to be machal b'truma, because the din is that once a woman becomes a nesua, then she does eat truma. So you see that chuppah is more powerful than kesef. So if kesef creates the status of requiring a get, how much more so it a din shetikneh? Is there more so that a chuppah should be able to create kedushin in the first place? That was the original source of Rav Huna's kavachomer. The Gemara has a lot of issues with this kavachomer. And finally, the Gemara revamps the kavachomer. So we go down to the fourth line in the first of the Ramah Kamos, second one line. That Rav Huna meant a little bit of a different kavachomer. Uma kesef she'eno gomer kone. So kesef doesn't have the ability to create nisuin, but it does have the ability to create kedushin. Chuppah shegomeres, chup which has the ability to create nisuin, eno din shetikne. Kavachomer that it should be able to create kedushin. So basically, Rav Huna is trying to prove to us the following halacha. A couple standing together under the chuppah. They don't know each other yet. They haven't had anything together yet. They're starting from scratch, and they want the chuppah to create kedushin. So Rav Huna starts out with a kavachomer and says, well, if chuppah is more powerful, it's more effective than kesef, so if kesef is able to create kedushin, how much more so that chuppah is able to create kedushin as well? That's the thrust of the kavachomer of Rav Huna. And the Gemara again goes to technical details. Is the kavachomer really good? Are there questions? Then the Gemara goes through the technicality, the Mishnah doesn't mention it. If it's really true textually, why isn't it in the Mishnah? So there are a lot of difficulties with Rav Huna, but Rav Huna Shita still stands what he says, that based on this meat of Kavachayber, Chuppah should be a valid method of Kiddushin.
How do we know the Chuppah Midoraisa is called?
So we know that for Nisuin. Oh, very good. So the Gemara never spells that out. It's clear that it's the case because the Gemara has multiple nafkaminas deraisa concerning Yerusha, Tumah, First Adam, etc. The Gemara never spells it out exactly what the source is. According to some, it's based on a pasuk by a First Adam in Beis Yishah Nadara, where the Torah describes that she's Bebeis Ha'ish. So Bebeis Ha'ish, that means Nisuin, and somehow Chuppah corresponds to that. So we're going to come back to this real question a little bit later on in the Sugya, where we try to pinpoint what Chuppah is. So we're talking very vague right now. We're talking about this quote-unquote Chuppah, which we're not sure, quite sure practically what it is. So this Rav Huna is a Chiddush, and ultimately Rav Huna is all based on a Kav HaChomer. So come to Rishonim, and I have a very serious problem with Rav Huna's Kav HaChomer, because Rav Huna's Kav HaChomer seems to violate a very basic principle in Hilchos Kav HaChomer, the principle called Dayo. Dayo, literally, die, like maspik, enough. Dayo is a principle that ultimately puts the brakes on a Kav HaChomer. What exactly does Dayo mean? Whenever I'm trying to learn out a Kav HaChomer, so I'm trying to say that, well, if A is true, so Kav HaChomer B should be true as well. If the role B is so much more powerful, B is so much more chomer than A, so all the characteristics, all the properties of A should carry over to B. That's pretty much what a Kav HaChomer is. Now, when you want to say that B is going to be greater than A, do you mean to say that there are going to be halachas in A and that don't even exist that you're going to carry to B? You're going to make B more chomer than the original source? That's a flagrant violation of Hilchos Kav HaChomer. Dayo means, we say it very quickly, three letters, Dayo, but what it really stands for is Dayo Lebam Min Adin Lios Kinidon. It's enough that something that is derived min adin from a Kav HaChomer should be no more than the original source where you're coming from. So the ABCs of Kav HaChomer is that anything that's ultimately going to be derived from a Kav HaChomer can't be more chomer than the original source of derivation of the original Kav HaChomer to start with. So that principle of Dayo appears in the second parak of Maseches Bava Kama. It's actually Machlekes HaTanoim, just how far that principle goes. So let's learn through a little bit of a Sugya Bava Kama to appreciate what Dayo is, or perhaps what Dayo is not, and then be able to understand a little bit better the Rishonim's dilemma within Shittas Rav Huna. So the Sugya begins in the second of the Marim Kamos. The Mishnah is talking about a Shor HaMazik. My animal damages you, it damages your animal, and it damages your animal in an abnormal manner. Now we know that whenever an animal damages in an abnormal manner, either by goring or by biting, by kicking, etc., that's what the Torah tells us, you only pay chatzi nezek, you only pay half damages, those are psuchim explicitly in Vashem Mishpatim, ki'igach, ki'igof, etc. So the first three times is considered to be a shortam, and you only pay chatzi nezek. If the owner is warned three times, and by the fourth time, then you pay nezek shalom. So comes the Mishnah and raises the following question. What if my animal goes crazy, it starts goring, but it doesn't gore your animal in the middle of the street, rather it goes into your backyard, and it gores your animal in your rishus. So maybe that's mochomer. The Torah doesn't talk about that case. What would it then be? So shor hamazik b'shus hanizek keitzad. So nagach, either my animal gores, or nagach, or pushes, or nashach, it bites, ravatz, it falls on, bud, or kicks. Any of these are considered to be what we call in halacha keren meaning horn, meaning goring. These are all examples, b'shus harab b'mishalim chatzin hezek. If it happens in a public area, then I pay chatzin hezek. That's what the Chumash says explicitly. But what about b'shus hanizak? If it's b'shus hanizak, Rabbi Tarfon omer nezek shalem. Rabbi Tarfon is a chiddush that in b'shus hanizak, in the private property of the person who was damaged, you pay full damage. The chachamim omrim chatzin nezek. And the Chachamim say, no, you only pay half damages. How did Rabbi Tarfon know that you pay full damage? It doesn't say that in the Chumash. The Chumash only says, v'chatzu es kaspel. The Torah only speaks about paying chatzi. So how did Rabbi Tarfon know that the din changes in the Rishus and Izuk? So Amalim Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon said to the other Chachamim, the following Kal v'chomer, Uma b'makom shehekel al hashein v'al haregel b'shus harabim shehu potur. If an animal damages, but not through an abnormal manner, not by goring or kicking or going crazy, but rather through normal ways of damage, shein v'regel. Shein means the animal eats, regel means the animal just steps upon. So if my animal eats your food, or my animal steps upon your food, if it happens in the street, so then I'm totally potter. The Torah says, ubir b'stei acher. B'stei acher means somebody else's property, not rishus harabim. So that's what we call in halacha shein v'regel, a potter in rishus harabim. So Rabbi Tarfon is setting up his Kal V'chomer. So Shein V'regel is Pat the Bishus Arabim, but Hechmer Alein Bishus HaNizek, L'Shalem Nizek Shalem. But if Shein V'regel happen in the other person's property, then you pay Nezik Shalit. That's also a Pasuk of Chumash. It says explicitly, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmo Yishalem. So there are two Dinim Derais that we know exist. That number one, Rishen Veregel is Patr and Rishis Arab entirely. Number two, Shen Veregel is Chayav Nezik Shalem and Rishis Anizuk. So now, Mokom Shehech, like Karen Rishis Arab and Mishalem Chatzin Nezik, Karen, which does pay half damages in the street. So in the hierarchy of Mazikin, Karen is stricter than Shein Veregel. You see that Karen has something that Shein Veregel doesn't have. Namely, it does pay in the Rishus Arabim. Einaydin shenachmir la b'shus anizik l'shalem nezik shalem. Shouldn't we also be machmir on Karen to have to pay nezik shalem in the Rishus anizik? So basically what Rabbi Tarfon just did is, he just derived Karen from this Kal V'chomer of Shein V'regel. So Karen and Rishus HaNizik has to pay Nezik Shalem. So Amrulo, the Chacham said to Rabbi Tarfon, it's a great logical Kal V'chomer, but it violates the principle of Daya Levamin Adin Lios Kinidon. Anytime you want to learn how to Kal V'chomer, it is enough. You cannot be more machmer than that which you are deriving from there which you are deriving from. Ma Rishus HaRabim Chatzi Nezik, just as in Rishus HaRabim itself, which was part of the Kal V'chomer, Karen pays Chatzi Nezek, Av Rishus HaNizik Chatzi Nezek, so too in the Rishus HaNizik you pay Chatzi Nezek. So this is the Machlokes, Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Tarfon at first glance seems to deny the entire principle of Dayo, whereas the Rabbanan accept the principle of Dayo.
What was the Dayo?
The Dayo is that if part of the Kal V'chomer is being derived from Karen Rishus HaRabim, the Torah speaks about Karen Rishus HaRabim paying Chatzi Nezek. So you want to use that to get your Kal V'chomer jump started and to say that, well, in Rishus HaNizek, you should pay Nezek Shalem. You're ending up being more machmir on what you're deriving than from where you're deriving from. So that violates Kal V'chomer. That violates Dayo.
What's the chomer that you're getting?
You're ending up Nezek Shalem. You're ending up that in Rishus HaNizek, you're Nezek Shalem. And in Rishus HaRabim, you're only Chatzi Nezek. So you end up being more machmer what's being learned from Kal V'chomer than from the original source of Kal V'chomer.
You're learning from the Kal V'chomer only the Nezek Shalem.
Oh, so that's the next line of the Mishnah. So we're going to try to stay clear of Bava Kamer. Rabbi Tarfon revamps his Kal V'chomer and says, Ani lo adun karen mikaren, ni adun karen mishein. And the Rabbanan responds, that's also called Dayo. Anytime you need anything in the Kal V'chomer, the final product, the final end result of the Kal V'chomer can never be more chomer than anything along the way. So this is Machlokes Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanan. Where in the world did this principle come from? Dayo. Who made up this principle of Dayo? Where does it come from? So the Gemara says, if you skip down to the end of the second of the Ramakobos, where the Gemara starts, five lines from the bottom, for Rabbi Tarfon, Leistay Dayo, the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Tarfon denies Dayo, that can't be, but Dayo Diaraisi. The principle of Dayo is a Diaraisitika principle. This was part of the ABCs of Kal V'chomer. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, he gave him the Yugim Midas Shetani Dreshes and many other Midas Shetani Dreshes, and he explained to him how to use those Midas. So one of the rules of the Midas of Kal V'chomer is the principle of Dayo. How do we know that? The sign that we learned in the Braisa. We didn't Kal V'chomer Ketzer. What is Kal V'chomer? How do you know how to do a Kal V'chomer? This Braisa is the very beginning of Torah's Kohanim. It's the Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, B'shoshe Midas Tan Drashes Bem. So first Rabbi Shmuel lists off the 13 Midas, and then Rabbi Shmuel explains each Midah how it works. So the first of the Midas is Kal V'chomer. So the opening Braisa says the sign of being Kal V'chomer Ketzer. So if in davening, if we would continue learning Perek Rabbi Shmuel, if we wouldn't go to Miz Mashiach, we would actually open up the Torah's Kohanim and continue learning, this would be the next line. So the sign of being Kal V'chomer Ketzer. So the Gemara, the Braisa quotes an example of a Kal V'chomer that appears in the Chumash itself, which highlights the principle of Dayo. Ketzer. V'yomer Hashem Moshe, V'yavir Yerok Yerok B'faneha, Halo Sikalem Shivas Yomim. So when Miriam is punished with Tzara'as, so Moshe turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Moshe, I'll heal her. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, wait a second, let's make a cheshbon, how long she should be punished for. Imagine, says Hashem to Moshe, imagine if a regular person would do something that would get the father upset, and the father would, Moshe, spit at her. Yerok Yerok B'faneha. Literally, figuratively, the father would get angry at his daughter. Halo sikalem shivas yomim. She would be very embarrassed. For a week, she would stay away. She would hang her head in shame for a week. Halo sikalem shivas yomim. So what you think that's an introduction to. It sounds like the Torah is about to say that Madach, if a human being gets angry at his daughter, so she stays away, she's embarrassed for 7 days, so Kavachomer, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gets angry at you, it should be at least for 14 days, at least for longer. So that's what we're expecting the Pasuk to say. So we're getting all geared up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam's got to be banished for 14 days. Kavachomer. So it doesn't say that in the Chumash. That's what we would have said, that Kavah Chaymer for 14 days. But then the very next pasuk says, but guess what? Miriam is only banished for 7 days. I would happen to the Kavah Chaymer. So Ella Dailavamadin Lioskinidah. Licked in this pasuk, within this pasuk is built in the factor of Dayo. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I also work with Kavah Chaymer, and I also work with Dayo. So Kavah Chaymer should have been 14 days. But it's inconceivable that that which we're deriving should be more chomer than that which we're deriving from. And therefore, this is the principle of Dayo. And then the Gemara goes on to ask, so how come Rabbi Tarfon denies Dayo? So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Tarfon also accepts Dayo in a limited sense. The Gemara works very, very hard for the next moment or so to try to figure out what the rules of Dayo are according to Rabbi Tarfon. But everybody subscribes to some degree to Dayo. It's just that Rabbi Tarfon holds that sometimes Dayo doesn't apply. So come the Rishonim and ask a bomb kash in our sugya. Rav Huna is a classic violation of Dayo, because what was Rav Huna trying to learn? He's trying to learn chuppah from kesef. If kesef works, kavachaymer, that chuppah should work. So comes Tosfos in the third of the Mamakamas, and our sugyan asks, v'yim taymer, name of Dayo asav dina, the meheichim aisis the chuppah kone, v'shum de gemeres, Dayo levom ledin lios kinidon, malahala nacha kesef, afkan nacha kesef. You're trying to learn how to kavachaymer from chuppah, just as chuppah is gemeres, so it creates the suin, so to which it creates kedushin. But chuppah can only be gemeres, chuppah can only create nesuin if it was preceded by kesef. You can't have chuppah creating nesuin in a vacuum. You can't all of a sudden take two strangers and say, okay, stand under the chuppah, you now become nesuin together. That's ridiculous. The whole chalos of nesuin is presupposing that kesef already took place. So you want to tell me now, kavachaymer, that chuppah, whatever chuppah is, yichud room, standing under the chuppah, going, whatever you think chuppah is, you want to tell me that chuppah can create kedushin? That's a flagrant violation of Dayo. How can chuppah that you are trying to derive be more chomer than the chuppah that exists in halacha? The chuppah that the Torah speaks about, the nesuin that the Torah speaks about, is assuming there was a kesef beforehand, and now you want to create chuppah without a kesef beforehand? That's absurd. That's an absolute violation of Dayo. So says Tosfos, you're right, v'yesh lomar, the asik Rabbi Tarfon. It must be this entire sugi Rav Huna is all following Rabbi Tarfon, who has a much more limited version of what Dayo is. Again, we didn't get into the nuances of Rabbi Tarfon Shita, but suffice it to say, says Tosfos, according to classic understanding of Dayo, Rav Huna's Kavachomer doesn't even get off the ground. Now, why is this Tosfos so important? It's important for a lot of reasons, but it becomes very important in terms of Derech HaPsach. Because later on in the sugya, we're going to raise the question, well, do we follow Rav Huna or not? So there were some Yishayim who say, yeah, maybe we pass like Rav Huna. Maybe. You have to learn the sugya's in and out of the sugya to see. Maybe Rav Huna Shita stands la halacha. According to Tosfos, Rav Huna can't stand Bechlau, because to follow Rav Huna is tantamount to following Rabbi Tarfon. And we know that Rabbi Tarfon was a Das Yochid. In the Mishnah, in Bava Kama, nobody passes, none of the Yishayim passed like Rabbi Tarfon. It's the Yochid for Ramallah Karabim. So once Tosfos just connected Rav Huna to Rabbi Tarfon, that's not going to bode well for Rav Huna la halacha. So let's keep this Tosfos in the back burner. When we get to the sugya a little bit later on to figure out how we paskin, we're going to come back hopefully to this Tosfos. So again, so we have Rav Huna's chiddush that on a love of the araisa based on kal v'chomer, chuppah can create an actual kedushin. Chuppah can require a get. Chuppah can create a status of mekudeshes on a love of the araisa based on the principle of kal v'chomer. So in the back of the Maamar Kamos, in Maamar Kamos number 6, the Tosfos Rosh raises the question, what exactly this kedushin of chuppah would look like in the worldview of Rav Huna? So again, we're going to go back to the world of Rav Huna, whether we do accept them or don't accept them, right now doesn't matter. According to Rav Huna, what exactly happens? Reuven and Rachel stand under a chuppah together, and he says to Harem Mekudesh Li B'chuppazu, and Rav Huna says, Mekudeshes, Mazel Tov, and she now needs a get if she wants to marry somebody else. So she is Mekudeshes. So comes and tells the Rosh and says, but what else is she? Is she only Mekudeshes, or did she knock off Kedushin and Nesuin at the same time? Normally you do Kesef, Shtar, Bia, And then later, 6 months later, a year later, or in our world, 10 seconds later, afterwards you have chuppah to create nisuin. So Kamsa tells the Rosh and says, according to Rav Huna, who's using the same method to create nisuin and kedushin, does it really accomplish two things? Can you literally kill two birds with one stone? He'll stand under the chuppah and he'll say to Rem, Kudesh the b'chuppazo, and when they leave the chuppah, mazal tov, they were both b'kudeshes and nisuin. Everything was completed. What should I say? No? Should I say that chuppah works as kedushin, but that it's no different than any other kedushin? It's going to require a second chuppah afterwards. So the Taz of Rosh, the sixth Imam Chumash, raises the shaila. So chuppah shem achal shem adin shetik. The v'kevin shikone. So says the Taz of Rosh, once you follow Rav Huna, that chuppah can be, it can create kedushin, gam he goy meres. Then you have to say by default that it completes the marriage as well. It not only creates kedushin, it creates the suin as well. What's compelling Taz of Rosh to say that? The my omei the chuppah shechagach liyos gemeres tvei mechuppazu, because if not, then you're going to be led to the absurd conclusion that you have to do a second chuppah to create nisuin. So what's going to happen? What's the worldview going to be like according to Rav Huna? This is what your marriage is going to look like. They're going to stand under the chuppah l'shem kedushin mazal tov. Then they're going to come off the chuppah, and then next week they're going to come, Rabbi, we want to do nisuin. So where do we send them? We send them back to the same chuppah. So there's a couple scratching the head. What did the second chuppah have that the first chuppah didn't have? It's the same thing. So if the second chuppah creates the suin, why can't you kill two birds with one stone? Let the first chuppah create the suin. So the Taz of Rosh says that logic is so compelling, my omei dai chuppah mehai chuppah, that it must be the taka the first chuppah really did create the suin. Oh Shema, now the Taz of Rosh backs out for a second, says no, maybe the Rav Huna chuppah kona, maybe chuppah can only create kedushin. But now we're searching what's going to be the suin. If not chuppah, what else? Is there anything better than chuppah to create nisuin? Ubi yeshechakich kemeres. Maybe we're going to insist on a second method for nisuin, but the second method is not going to be just a repeat of the old chuppah. That's going to be stale. We already did that last week. We have to come up with something new. The something new must be a maisa biya. It must be if the couple has biya together, l'shem nisuin, or that's going to be the machma patish. That's going to be the final touch of this marriage. So Taz Rosh is not sure. Either we just say the chuppah did everything, kedushin and suin and everything, call it a day, or we say no, the chuppah can only serve to create one chalos per customer per chuppah, and now we're searching what will be the appropriate way to create nisuin. It can't be a repeat of the chuppah, that would be absurd, that would be against the svara. It must be that bia would be the second method to create nisuin. So there's a tremendous chiddush in the Taz of Rosh. The chiddush in the Taz of Rosh is that bia is a method for nisuin. Where does it say that? The Gemara never says that explicitly. The Gemara always speaks about chuppah, chuppah, chuppah. Again, we don't know what chuppah is, but it's not bia. So how did the Taz of Rosh even know that bia is a regular method? Forget about the crazy couple who's standing under the chuppah for kedushin. A normal case, kesef. The Makadosh and Nisha with kesef. And then 6 months later, they want to do the suin. So he says, scratch the chuppah. We don't need a chuppah. Just have maisa bia together. Is that good? That creates the suin. So it's clear for the Taz of Rosh that the answer to that question is yes. How did he know that? So it's not just the Taz of Rosh who said it. The Rambam says it as well. And the Ran questions, where does that come from? So we take a look at the seventh of the Rambam Kamos. The Ran is commenting on the Rambam. So says the Ran that the Rambam already told us that if a couple had Kedushin and then 6 months later they decide to do Bia, so that's going to be all right. That's going to be a kid in the suin. Yes, the Ran, what's the case? Hechidami.
Yeah, work.
In theory also, yeah. So ask the Ran, Hechidami, Idike chuppah, if they have chuppah before they have bia, bia lamali, what do you need bia for? Vida leke chuppah, so what would that mean that they don't have chuppah? It means they didn't stand under chuppah, they didn't go to a yichud, they didn't do whatever chuppah means, so kevin should be as isri. So says the Ran, so if they didn't have chuppah, so that's what we call in halacha, the ha-kaimblan ha-bala resasa ve-schamiv loke. If a person is bala rusaso in his father-in-law's house, that means before nisuin, before chuppah, you're not allowed to do that. We say that in the bracha under the chuppah. V'asa lanu es arusos. There's an iser of arusa, arusa bala rusaso is an iser. According to many Rishonim, it's not an iser deraisa. It's maybe only an iser derabanan. It's only malchus maritus, but still hasar. So he asks the Ran, so then what's the case? Eina b'din shetikna said, how in the world is that bia, which is an aveira, going to create the chalos of nisuin? So the Ran is raising a red flag, both on the Rambam, as well as by extension to the Taz of Rosh. What does that mean? What do the words mean that you're going to end up having bia and bia is going to suffice as nesuin. How is that bia going to take place? If it's going to take place post the chuppah, the heter post the chuppah, so what do I need the bia for? The chuppah accomplished it. If it's going to take place without a chuppah, namely be iser, so then how in the world can it be as iser? Polar resasa beis chamiv. How in the world can that affect anything? So if you take a look at the Ran's answer, the third line from the top of the Ran towards the end of the line, Yeshloim, Adino Chinami, the Imbole Shalom L'Shem Nisuin, if he has relations with her, not for Nisuin, Eladech Znus, Shastam, he goes to visit her on the father's house, and they're stamped together one time, not for the purpose of Nisuin, that is what the Yerushalmi said, Abola Rasasa Beis Chabav is like, yeah? The Eino Koine, and such a Bia will not be Koine, Vil like, and that you will be Chai Malchus, Abit Medir Rabbanan. But if the couple has bia for the purpose of nisuin, he says that so that will taka work. That's a kinyan, and that won't be a nisser. So the Ran is walking a tightrope here. He says that you can't have the same bia both being usser and being kohen. That's a contradiction in terms. So you have to figure out what characteristic is it that makes the bia mutter and therefore kohen. What characteristics makes it usser and therefore not kohen? So the Ran is searching and searching. On the one end, the Rishonim says it's usser. On the other end, the Rishonim are telling us that it's kohen. So it must be. There's a brisket up between two different kinds of bia. So what is it? The answer must be. Depends on the intent. If the intent is derech kinyan nisuin, so that's perfectly okay, and it's kohen. If it's derech znus, then it's perfectly not okay, and it's not going to be kohen. That's the theory according to the Ran. So the Ran answered for us, well, how can you have on the one hand it's usser and the other end be kohen? The answer is you can't have it together. It must be two different cases. But what the Ran has not yet explained for us, which is almost in a sense a more basic question, we have to ask on the Ran and on the Ram, where does it come from? We state in the Gemara, we state in the Chumash, Nisuin, as we said before, is a din deraisa. Yeah, Nisuin affects Hafaris, the Dharma, it affects Tumas Karnim, it affects Yerusha, it affects Kamva Kama dinim deraisa. So there's no question that the concept of Nisuin is a deraisa concept. And the Gemara speaks about chuppah being a method of nisuin, which, truth to be told, we're not even sure what chuppah means exactly. But bia, where did that come from? Where does it say, Menonim, where does it say in the Chumash, that bia is going to be a method for nisuin? It says in the Torah, bia is a method for kedushin, of all of that we know. But where in the world does it say that bia, even done with the purest and holiest of motives, l'shem nisuin, not derech znus, where does it say that that's going to be kernel altogether? So we know that it works. We have a Tazer Rush tells us it works. We have a Ram tells us it works. The Ran tells us it works. But the next question we have to ask is, where does it come from? So the Ran himself concedes it's going to be problematic. The Alpha Gavdo Ashkan Behejed Dekani El Achuppah, he says, we don't find explicitly that Bia works. We have Rishonim telling it to us, and we're not sure what the Makor is. So he's about to tell you what the source is. Hopefully, Mentorship on Friday. We'll continue in the middle of this Ran. Now that we've ascertained that chuppah is a method bia is a method of the suin if done properly with the proper intention, where the source comes from, hopefully to be determined on Friday.